Hello, Griffin.
Hi, Tom.
Hello, everybody else. Thank you for listening to Tandem Draft. If you're listening to this, it is at least March 6th. I have a story to tell you, Griffin.
I'm ready.
I got a headline. This was sent to me by a friend, and I thought I'd share it with you. And this is the headline. This came after the guy sent it to me. It's from our very own WGN News. Man says he was stung on testicles by scorpion while sleeping at a Las Vegas resort.
Well, man, if you haven't been there, then I don't know what to tell you.
Would you like me to continue reading?
Yeah.
Okay. California man staying at a Las Vegas strip resort over the holiday season is considering legal action after he said his testicles were stung by a scorpion while he was asleep. I didn't know a sting was out there, quite honestly.
I'm thinking he's mad because he paid for the privilege and he missed it because it happened when he was asleep.
Interesting. Yeah. He says, I just felt like it just felt like somebody stabbing me in my private area. It felt like a sharp glass or a knife, he said. Upon investigation, he said he found the source of the pain. Well, there you go. I went to the restroom. Oh, sorry.
Calling that an investigation.
Yeah.
Just start fiddling around, moving stuff around. We got to get to the bottom of this.
I went to the restroom and I saw a scorpion hanging on my underwear, he said on December 26th. Afterward, the man and his family checked out early one day later. The hotel compensated him for his room. Well, that's nice.
That's nice.
So yeah, I guess he's a little upset.
So now we know all we have to do to get copped at a desert-ish resort is to bring a scorpion with and say that we found it.
Yes. Did the resort ask for visual proof? Did they need
of the scorpion or the testicle?
Yes.
Wasn't this in We Are the Millers?
It's been so long since I've seen that movie. I have no idea.
Oh my God. So, that's probably exactly what happened. So was the scorpion, I almost said stingray, way crazier. Was the scorpion an employee of the resort or was he another guest?
That's a great question. I do not know that, but I stopped reading. I figured we got the gist. I can dive into it a little more if you need me to for next week, but I just thought that would be a fun thing to start with because everybody likes somebody else's pain.
Right. Yeah. You can't really read farther into how much crazier could that story even get?
I don't know.
I don't think it could.
But here we are, Griff. I don't think that there is any better way to jump into the events of Las Vegas Motor Speedway than a Vegas story. So
yeah,
there we go. We had a great weekend of racing at Las Vegas. It was the first mile and a half track, the first time we saw not restrictor plate racing happening in the NASCAR landscape. And Chevy, still good.
Yeah, they only lost one race now this year. But yeah, I think 8 for 9 is pretty good on a national level. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I think that would get you in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, sure. So we will break down. There were two good races that I know of. Griffin's going to fill in the Xfinity things because I have to tell you about my Saturday. But let's start, I guess, with the trucks on Friday night. It was a great race. Griffin fell asleep.
Yeah. So, okay. So I was very excited for this. So Raja getting the pole, super jacked. Everybody's jazzed about this. He just got the news he's sponsored for the full year. Like, that's awesome.
And during qualifying and after practice, he was just sitting with Kyle Busch and listening to every word
under the learning tree.
Yes.
He's said to be pretty much the biggest sponge in NASCAR. Like, he is asking questions and learning everywhere, which, yeah, that's going to get it done. That's going to bear fruit eventually, learning from all of these guys. And so, I mean, for my experience in the race, I got to about 50 to go, around 50 or 60 to go, and Raja was restarting like 8th. And I'm like, I guess he's still got time. And then I woke up. So, whoops. And it wasn't because it was a boring race. It was a fun race. You know, I like trucks. You know, there's a lot of lead changes and things happening.
It was a late night. Race didn't start till like 8:30 or 9.
Yeah, race started at 8. I mean, I had to be up at 4. Like, it wasn't a great recipe there, but I tried, but
the race was fantastic. Start to finish, there was great passing. Everybody, you know, the last couple of weeks, especially at Daytona, we saw a lot of crap. We saw a lot of racing. we saw a lot of just very bad selfish driving, even though, I mean, in racing you have to be selfish sometimes, but there's a difference between being respectfully selfish and disrespectfully selfish. This is the first time I saw respectful racing happening. We only had a couple different cautions, and for the most part, they weren't like mean or anything super bad happening. But yeah, it came down to Carruth just making a move. And I shouldn't discredit the race and get straight to the finish because it was such a good race. The passing was great. We had 3-4 wide. The guys in the booth were getting excited.
Well, I'll stop you there.
The best we could.
I'll stop you there. Not in the booth. They're in Charlotte. Losers. Anyway, moving on.
Right. Yes. Yeah. We should. Yeah. You could definitely tell that they were not at the track. But the middle guy's name is escaping me. I know we talked about him this weekend.
Oh, sorry. Phil Parsons?
Yes. He was having a great time. He was telling us what was going on. Michael was sometimes watching the race. And Jamie Little was just trying her darndest. And yeah. I know.
I don't know.
But the racing was absolutely fantastic. Top tier, best truck race that I've seen in a very long time. Lots of slipping and sliding around. We had green flag pit stops. The whole shebang, it was the perfect mile and a half race of just consistent action happening and not stupidity. And Raja Carruth got the win. And it was awesome. And he was pulling away at the end. He was like, I know what I'm doing and you guys don't. I'm out of here. And it was best.
Yeah, he won by a huge margin. He did a burnout into the grass, which you never see. And he said it was accidental because you don't want to screw up the grass for the Cup guys. But
yeah,
it was just a cool moment.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, right. You're not supposed to. But man, just what a cool moment. He was so excited. Like, it's nice to have a race and everyone be universally happy for the winner. And like, just like last week with Daniel, that's how it was. And here we were again with Raj. Everybody's just excited because he's earned it. Like, he's put in the work. He's earned. Obviously, he didn't just fall into this win. Like, he was the fastest truck for a lot of that race after Ty Majeski had his problem. Like, it was between them two. The 19 and 18 trucks were pretty fast.
Yeah.
That whole team. I can't even remember. Bill McAnally Racing, that team. There it is. The ones with the Napic truck. Okay.
Right.
They're super fast. But right now, the Spire and Spire prepared cars are 3-for-3 this year with Sanchez in the Rev Racing truck. And then, so yeah, it's up to Chase Purdy. He's got to win next to keep that going on. But I mean, you say we had some respectful racing. That's good. So good thing that the next two races are Bristol and Circuit of the Americas.
Right. So yeah. There's all kinds of respect happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can go ahead and tell you the truck should not be anywhere near COTA. I just don't want to see that. I'm going to be honest.
I don't know. The first one that there's, I think it was the second race they had where it ended up with Bowman and Bush like dueling it out at the end of the race, and then with Zane Smith just like taking them out, like, or not taking them out, but like just letting them ruin each other's race and then winning the thing. Like, I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
I like Circuit of the Americas. It hasn't provided like a shit show of a race yet, besides the rain race that the Cup guys had where everybody crashed every lap.
Oh, Kevin Harvick was so mad about that one.
That was awful. Or like Truex and Custer almost killed each other. But I like that track. I mean, it's the driver's fault that anything bad happens. Remember last year, the duel with Byron and Reddick? That was pretty nuts. Pretty much like the whole race.
Yeah, that's right.
That being said, the truck guys are the truck guys. So we'll see how that turns out.
Exactly. Yeah, that was going to be the point that I was going to make, but you made it. So
Yeah.
But I'm very happy with the Las Vegas race. I think that was awesome. That was the way that truck racing was supposed to be. That was the way racing was supposed to be. I was just so happy about the truck race.
Yeah, that's a Friday night truck race, you know, like the kind of one that I would have watched 20 years ago with Hornaday and Crafton, Sprague and Musgrave and everybody on a Friday night at Las Vegas.
It looked like veterans out there who have done it before out there racing. It was great. So it gave me hope that I haven't had for a while for the trucks.
And it will be crushed.
when they go to
Bristol. It will be stamped out of you.
Yeah, so we're done with the trucks for a little bit. They will not be at Phoenix next week. Correct. But we have a couple more races to talk about. So, Griff, before you get to the Xfinity race, I have to tell you why I didn't watch the Xfinity race on Saturday. I went and played golf with my friend Joe. Shout out, Joe. It was great. Had a lovely afternoon. It was like high 50s, super windy, a little chilly, but it was nice. It was my first time playing golf of the year. And then on our way back, we were going to stop somewhere and get wings and then eat them and then I was going to come home to the recorded Xfinity race and watch it.
Yes.
Then we saw that there was an emo cover band playing Cubby Bear. And we changed.
Never mind. Yes.
And when I tell you that you and Megan would be living your best lives, you would be living your best
lives. I told Megan about it. She's like, and they didn't call us?
It was too late, but I do have good news for you.
Yes.
I'm going to send you the information, but the same guys that I saw on Saturday will be in Joliet a couple Fridays from now.
Oh, they're going to be in Bojo's? Or the Forge?
I'm not sure. Probably. I don't know. I have to track down what the name of this band is, because Anna's the one that said that they're going to be out that way in a couple Fridays. So as soon as I find that information, I will get it into your hands. But they played all the bangers. It was delightful.
I'm sorry. Lil Xan is playing there March 8th. Is that what you're referring to? Because I'm there. No. Okay.
That's not what I was referring to. Yeah. Yeah, I FaceTimed Becky, my sister, quite a few times because it seemed like every song that was playing was every ringtone she had from 6th to 10th grade. It was just the best night, and we had such a good time. But that's why I didn't watch the Xfinity race, because then I woke up on Sunday and it was time to watch the Cup race. So
I can just hear the Hawthorne Heights blaring through the speakers.
Oh, it was the best. It was the best. Yeah.
A tribute to Warp Tour 2024?
Honest to God, I have no idea.
I'm just going to read out Emo Night Karaoke? No, probably not that.
I'm in for that, though.
I'm just going to read off everything that's playing at the Forge.
It's like the Friday after St. Patrick's Day. And I don't know if that's the venue that they're at.
Who knows? Are you sure it's not Dying Fetus and Full of Hell playing on May 9th?
I'm almost positive it's not them.
I'm pretty sure it's them. All right. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah. I will get that information into your hands. I promise.
Before we talk about Xfinity, I want to talk about the big broadcast kind of news that kind of trickled out this week with, I don't think we talked about last week. I think it was after we talked last week, but Dale Jr. leaving NBC and gonna be broadcasting those 10 races with Amazon and Warner Brothers Discovery next year, which is absolutely fantastic for them. I mean, because again, you want credibility. That's who you get. You get Dale Jr. That's a great show. I know NASCAR it's going to be like NASCAR Productions doing those races. So it won't be like 100% done. But so obviously they have faith in Dale, and he's going to bring people. The eyes will be there because everybody loves Dale on commentary. NBC is still better than Fox, but man, that is a huge blow. Some of my favorite parts about that broadcast is Dale Jr. being on it. And I mean, I get that he's just moving to different races, but I just can't believe there was no offer they could make. I just can't believe they'd let him go. You know, what more does he want?
I'm happy for him because I don't know if you saw on his Instagram, he and Amy went and bought a big RV and they're going to go do a family RV trip this summer.
Have a great year.
I'm super happy for Dale Jr. because, you know, like, that's a guy that, like, he still obviously super loves racing, wants to be around racing, but he took this opportunity to be like, you know what? I have a big time thing coming up here next year. Why not take this year and have a good time? And it's not like we're not going to see him at the track. He's just not going to be at the booth, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I'm excited for the broadcast with him because I think of everybody going right now, I think he and Kevin Harvick are the best broadcasters that NASCAR has anywhere. So it would be cool to see them team up, but that's not going to happen. So I'd actually prefer them not teaming up because that means when there's not one, there's the other one.
Right.
So
So I'm going to build the greatest NASCAR booth of all time.
I'm in. All right. Whatever you say, I'm in.
All right. So first of all, so do you remember like in the mid to late 2000s, like Larry McReynolds obviously was in the booth for Fox, but he also did the TNT races. He did those, he did both. So I require that. Larry McReynolds will also do the 10. He's in the booth. That's my
idea. I also require him at the track. I'm sick of him not at the track.
And he doesn't want to be not at the track. So Larry McReynolds, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and a person who it's an absolute crime that they've been sitting at home for 10 mm-hmm. years. I mean, calling some college games, you know, calling this and that, but not calling big time sports, not calling NASCAR. Alan Bestwick. Obviously, yeah. You started nodding the second I started, like you knew who I was talking about. That would be the greatest boost of all time, right? Like
when you think of like the 2000s races that you and I grew up watching, it's his
voice.
And then all of a sudden he just disappeared off the planet for whatever reason.
Only ESPN lost the, you know, NBC wanted Rick Allen from Fox and ESPN lost their licensing and their that's how we got here.
Yeah. I feel like there's so many text messages that we've had in our NASCAR group where I've had to say that the Andy Bernard quote in the last episode of like, it's, I wish you knew you were in the good old times when you were
when you were still in them.
Yeah. Whatever the quote is, but yeah. Alan Bestwick should absolutely be in NASCAR. Dale Jr. And Larry Mack would be great. I will save this thought when we're talking about. I have a thought, but I'll save it for when we get to the Cup stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I woke up Saturday morning, I was disappointed that I missed Raja winning, but I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm like, hey, that's my favorite truck driver. Let's see what happens with my favorite Xfinity driver. So Shane finished like 13 laps. No, I think he fell out of the race. It was brutal. This poor guy, they lose his practice time because they missed tech or they failed tech twice.
Oh.
So he loses a crew member, loses pick selection for this week and didn't get to practice a lot of the time because they were stuck in the tech line, starts mid pack. And then they have like, they lose power and he falls out of the race. Like, way early on in his first race at a true mile and a half. So I'm pissed at Colleague Racing. They're holding my boy hostage. They're not giving him what he needs to have. They're not giving him rocket ships. They're not flying him to the moon.
Yeah, he's winning every single race. What are we doing?
I'm pissed. This kid, he's in his 30s. This kid needs to have the best stuff. If we go to COTA and he doesn't win the race, I'm going to find Matt Colleague. And I'm gonna give him peace of my mind. Good. I'm angry. This is ridiculous.
Good.
And you put AJ Allmendinger in the Xfinity series and have Derek Crouse anyway. So the Xfinity race was fair. It was pretty much a Toyota day. Chandler Smith probably had the best car. He had the best car in this race last year when he was with Colleague, and it was going to be his first win. And I had a wager on him that weekend.
$1 million.
Oh my God. It was a very small wager, but the odds were really great. And he was leading at the white flag and he lost to Austin Hill last year. I was very sad, but this year it was really between him and John Hunter, who's still in the 20 car part-time this year while he's at Legacy in the Cup Series. But it just became a John Hunter race. He won a lot of mile and a halfs last year. They did not race like teammates for a good amount of it. It was nothing crazy, but you know, it was early in the race to be trading the lead and everything. And they both had some choice words for each other, but I mean, it's, come on.
You're not
getting into each other. You know, it's fine. You're not really teammates. I get why Chandler's mad because John Hunter's not racing for points. And
do you really want somebody to hand it to you? You know, I mean,
no, right.
Money. But that's the other thing too, with these Cup guys. Yeah. They're not racing for points, but they're racing for the purse.
Exactly. Yeah. But it ended up John Hunter. It was really, there was no chance of any other finish there. John Hunter took the win. It was fairly tame of a race, but I mean, the Xfinity cars are so much fun. Anytime they race around each other is a fun watch.
So they look so good.
I wouldn't even call it a dud, but even the dud races are, you know, still better than the Cup races on most days. But the first non-Chevrolet winner this year. Now it's a Cup guy winning the Xfinity race, and say what you want, but that's good for the series because Chandler Smith learns from racing against John Hunter Nemechek and all of these guys he's racing around. It's not like Kyle Busch where he's a lap ahead of the field and nobody gets to race with him. So I'm sure Chandler Smith learned a lot that he can use next time he races against John Hunter Nemechek, and it'll be even better. So all in all, no complaints, but good. You know, Shane didn't win, so I never want to watch it again.
Fire everybody, sell the team.
Yeah. Yeah. Move to Memphis. Nashville. Who cares?
Yeah. I am a little sad that I did miss, and I have been slacking on my iRacing career. I love Vegas. Vegas is such a fun track on iRacing, and I did not get to do it this week before they changed it. Huge update today. They added the rain stuff.
Yes.
I need to download it. Once baseball season gets started and I get myself settled in with all my new responsibilities, I do plan on finding at least one night to where I can dedicate it to iRacing and probably streaming it for the people. And I think I found a way for you to also be on it, watching it in real time with me. So we'll figure that out.
There's no better way to spot than from the exact same view you have.
Bingo. That's all I want. That's all I want. So, man, it sounds like I missed a fun Xfinity race towards the end there.
Eh.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Okay. So it's fine.
Let's talk Cup. Great race.
Yep.
Big fan of the race. I want to start with my point. We were talking about the broadcast booth. That broadcast booth. How many weeks in a row have I struggled saying broadcast booth?
Well, I think that this was the first time that you struggled saying the broadcast booth.
Yikes. Okay. Broadcast booth. When are we going to stop with this Clint Bowyer bit? It's to the point where it's painful that every time somebody says something now we're creeping into the drivers and on the bit. I get the jabs every now and then, but every time somebody opens their mouth, they're saying something mean about Clint Bowyer, and he's just supposed to sit there and take it. And you can tell that there's like a little bit of tension where he hates it, but he can't say anything.
It's just DW. Like, that's all it is. It's DW because it's like 20 years. They're probably 20 years apart, 20, 25 years. That's when he was in the boot. It's the same thing. Like, Tim and Tony always got into it. And
I don't think it's the same thing, though, because Bowyer is closer to racing these cars than DW was racing the cars he was, you know? Well,
I mean, at the very beginning, DW had retired the year before. He had just gotten out of the car.
Yeah, but and I don't think
he still did Xfinity and truck stuff for a while.
But were people as mad or as mean to DW as they're being the Clint? Over the top.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want him to be. He's too silly. First of all, it should be color commentator, driver, crew chief, and Clint Bowyer is not the color commentator. Harvick should be the driver, and he is not a crew chief. And I'm tired of him talking about Gwen Stefani and saying funny things.
I hate that he's the funny guy because I feel like he does have a couple good points every now and then.
I don't have a problem with Clint Bowyer. I think my problem is that he's in the booth and Larry McReynolds is not, and that just makes it harder for me. Hard to swallow. Like, yeah, if Larry McReynolds was like sitting at home and didn't want anything to do with it, I'd feel better. But like the fact that Larry McReynolds is the odd man out in the situation for Clint Bowyer, and like Larry McReynolds is clearly a better TV man than Clint Bowyer is.
Yeah. And you see the broadcast for F1, which is way worse of racing, and they're taking it seriously and they're getting excited about their sport when the race is over before it even starts. Like, so why can't we have that kind of seriousness in our sport?
Like we all know Max Verstappen is going to win his fourth title in a row. We've had one race. It's impossible. Impossible.
I forgot that it was Saturday morning.
I had no idea until it was over.
I turned it on. I was like, oh, let's see if anything's any different. And
nope.
When I turned it on, I don't remember what lap they were on, but Max was already 15 seconds ahead. And he was only 15 seconds ahead because he made a green flag or he made a pit stop. And what in the time that he came into the pits and left the pits, nobody went by.
Jesus.
It's boring. It's the same thing. Red Bull and then some variation of a Ferrari and a Mercedes.
Yeah.
Every single week.
But there was a rumor yesterday that Max is going to go to Mercedes.
No way.
Which, I mean, I don't know how stupid you could be. I mean, you got to ride this gravy train until the wheels fall off, man. Like, why would you leave There is no way that Mercedes could make any offer that Red Bull would say, no, we can't touch that. Like Red Bull is, but even like, that, a global core, they could throw any amount of money at Max Verstappen to get him to stay.
Yeah, but even that, why would he leave? Because yeah. Red Bull obviously has the best car.
Yeah, the best car.
So why would you leave?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm pretty sure he's going to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, for sure going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about our sport. Yeah, Sunday race was awesome.
Yes. I had a lot of fun watching that race.
Three wide, four wide, a couple five wides even.
Yeah, we had pit strategy. Yeah, the restarts were great. It was like Pocono or Phoenix.
Yeah, it was like it reminded me of Phoenix when they dive into the open dogleg. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, William Byron was making crazy moves at the beginning of the race, which that didn't turn out well for him. Oh, nothing against his driving, but
you know what I like the most about, like, we saw so many mistakes on pit road.
So many
mistakes on pit road. And it just showed that how tough it is at Vegas, especially to come down and like the boxes or whatever size, and then keeping your getting in pit road under speed limit, staying under speed limit. It was a great race.
Personally, I think they should have red flagged it for Bubba so they could fix the lug nut and then give him the lead. Because I'm still pissed about that. I turned away and then I look back and he's 13 laps down. Like, what the hell happened?
He was looking good. And then, what do we have? What was first? Was it Priest's tire fell apart?
Oh, that was Priest. That was in practice. And so Bell.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Bell.
And Bell. Oh, but Priest broke that was Buescher. Was it Buescher or Priest that broke the wall?
Buescher broke the wall because they did not put the tire on tight enough.
Yes, and it flew off.
Fox had that great, I'll give him credit. They had that great slow motion camera that really caught good. It. And then, the red flag that they had to stop the race to fix the wall. But that was a big mistake, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Bell had a flat tire at the beginning, at the start.
That was it. Yep.
And then Buescher's tire fell off and wheel. Yep. I think Bell spun later too, didn't he?
Bell spun on his own.
Race? Okay.
Felt bad for Corey LaJoie. He was having a really good run and then he lost it.
He was top 10 the entire race. Like,
how about it?
He spent a long time in the beginning of the last year, like in the top 16 in points, but like, he is really, it's way bigger like this time. Like, that whole team is running really good. Like, so far,
I think he's going to get a win this year.
I think so. I think he will.
He could.
I don't think it'll be he dominates the race, but I think it'll be like he could hold on to the track position long enough, like on a pit strategy call, like the car is good enough to hold on kind of a situation.
Yeah. And he had a moment, I felt like, for the majority of the race until he spun out, I guess. Remember when Bubba won Kansas on a mile and a half and he was I'm here now. I feel like it was about to be Corey LaJoie's moment of I'm here.
Yeah, all he needs to do, he makes a lot. I think he makes a lot of mistakes still because, he's not used to racing against these guys. You know, he was racing against guys like the 15th to 20th, and now he's racing from the 10th to 15th. A lot of different guys. He's a lot to learn there, but they have a Hender connection. There's a lot. Yeah. I mean, that whole team, there's three really good drivers. Like, Corey's running up front. Carson is exceeding expectations. I think he's continuing where he left off last year when he was racing the 42 car. He's having a great year figuring it out.
Finishing high up and kind of keeping out of the weeds or staying in the weeds a little bit.
Yeah. It's Zane hasn't had much of a shot. You know, they've had a lot of issues that I wouldn't say are of his doing, lots of pit road stuff, but he's obviously Zane Smith is a fantastic driver. He was going to replace Kurt Busch before CGR got bought out. What a timeline that would have been. Who would have saw that coming?
Right.
He got himself a truck title. Yeah, man. Corey LaJoie is the closest to winning cup race, and he's never won a NASCAR race ever. Like,
it'd be so cool.
And he's still got a shot. Yeah. So, yeah, greats are coming for that team, man.
Yeah.
That team's going to be good.
Anyways, this is just a long-winded way to tell you that Kyle Larson absolutely dominated the show.
He just spanked him. But and every time, both stages and the end of the race, was Tyler Reddick just breathing down his neck, which was awesome.
Well, that's the thing. It showed me a couple things. One, especially towards the end of the race, he kind of lured Reddick back in just to beat him. Almost.
He knew he could block him no matter what.
But then two, it just shows how good of a driver he is because he did that knowing he was going to win the race and not make the mistake. And yeah. he made Tyler make the mistake. And then it was just, I mean, he could have won that race by 5 seconds if he wanted to.
Yeah. All he had to do was watch the mirror and just go where he was. And that was it. There was no way you could get around him.
Perfect execution. Kyle Larson is, it would not be a long conversation if you said he was the best driver on the circuit right now.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, as far as just pure talent, man. And like, he's what he's Kyle Busch without the temper, you know, cause Kyle Busch probably had to have even more wins if he, you know, he got himself into trouble, but there's no better consistent driver that Kyle Larson's just really good. He's just really good. Yeah. And then he's doing the double, and that just, you can't not like that.
I cannot wait for the double.
It's going to be so great. He's going to win. He's going to win both races. I want that for the history. I just want
doesn't Hendrick have to have a driver ready for when he wins the 500? And then it's like, yeah, I'm not coming to the six.
Oh, he's coming. You know, that would just make him all that more hungry to do it.
That'd be wild. That would be, man, that would be so cool.
Yeah. What a moment. And those cars, the orange and blue McLaren stuff.
It looks good. Yeah. So he won Vegas. He did a repeat performance of what he did last fall, basically, except take out Christopher Bell and put in Tyler Reddick.
Yeah. It's exactly the same thing.
Exactly the same thing. Yeah. Because he dominated that race too.
Well, I can't forget to talk about Byron and the trash bag.
Yes.
This showed me. So Byron, I think, was the closest Hendrick car to him, but Bowman was up there a lot too. Obviously, then Byron, you know, he got the biggest trash bag of all time stuck on his nose. And it took him the whole race, but still got a top 10 out of it. But so we had Bowman and Larson and Byron up there a lot. Who are we missing? What's happening here?
Yeah.
Where is he?
I haven't even seen him close to contention or even on the TV screen.
He led laps in the 500, didn't he?
He led like three laps in the 500.
Everybody did. Okay.
Yeah.
He spun a couple times last week. With Ross, I don't remember them talking about Chase at all yesterday.
He was in the top 10 for a little bit, but it was mainly during like the pit cycles.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I really expected him to be way up there this year, you know? Because I mean, Chase is good. Chase is really good.
He won a nationwide
title at 18. He's a Cup Series champion. He's won in all three series. He's the third. Him and Kyle Larson are the third winningest drivers in Hendrick history.
Do you think that it has something to do with maybe Hendrick giving him a lesser car than the others?
Oh, no. I mean, they're all the same car, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to say it's the driver. But, I mean, it's one race. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Three races.
Yeah, it's one real race.
Anyways, okay, Phoenix, who do you got?
Probably Chase Elliott.
Yeah, now that we've talked so bad about him, he's probably going to shut us up.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Chase Elliott.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to say Logano just because I think Logano's pissed off and he's had a couple of bad things happen to him this year, and I think he's chomping at the bit for a dub, and he would like to be the one to put Ford on the board.
Yes. What's his starting percentage this year? Is it 1.33? Like,
yeah. I mean, he started first in the 500. He started second, and then he started first here.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's chomping at the bit to be the one to get the first Ford win. So,
yeah, I think we're pushing a year since he won Atlanta. A lot of Ford guys that are on huge streaks. Like, it's been 2 years for Briscoe. It's been 1 year for Logano. It's been
Brad.
3 years for Brad.
Yeah.
Blaney, it's been like six races.
Right, yeah, crazy. Yeah. What's his finishing? Because he finished, I mean, he didn't make it through the 500, right?
I don't remember. I don't think so. Yeah,
he got wrecked in the 500, but then he finished, what, second in Atlanta, and then he finished third here.
Yep.
So he's up there. So, yeah, I just think Logano is going to be the one to do it.
I think he can. I'm just surprised. Like, I'm surprised it's been this long since he's won.
Yeah.
I'm just still shocked.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we got. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Follow us on the Twitters.
Yeah. After next week on the show, we will be discussing what we did on Sunday.
Yeah, I can't wait. I have no idea what we're doing. So
yeah, I'll.
What do I wear?
Yep. What's that? Dress for being indoors in somewhere that might be a little warmer than, you know.
Okay.
If you wear a hoodie, maybe zip up, maybe that if you would want to remove.
Okay, but like, should I wear a certain apparel of anything?
Oh no, be yourself. Be yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll report back on that, I guess.